Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We got our man, Antonio Daniels, always hustling, the NBA champion and Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst, joining us at the bottom of the hour as we prepare for Game 5 of the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And Rob, we're going to get into the other the game we saw last night with the Clippers and Utah Jazz.
Boy,
out
did
west.
They steamrolled them right out the box last
they
night.
They did.
Chris.
It was really, I mean, and we see a lot of games, and the Clippers have been on both sides of some of these games,
yep,
where a team jumps out early, but inevitably there's a run. You know what I mean? And the opponent comes back from being down big. That was a rarity nowadays, it felt like. You know what I mean? Where they jump on you early, and it's just never a game.
What was it, 30-13, Chris?
They hit four threes in like the first 4 minutes, and the Jazz had turnovers and were missing threes and all that. But let me ask you this quickly, and we know we're both good friends with our man Stephen A. Smith, and occasionally we'll respond to some of the things he said. And he said today that Kevin Durant is by far, well, he just said it definitively. I don't want to say by far. He just said Kevin Durant is the best basketball player ever to represent New York. Obviously, you got Patrick Ewing, you got Willis Reed, Clyde Frazier, Carmelo, whoever you. Are you in agreement with that? Jason Kidd, whatever. You in agreement with that?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I think he has to win a championship first. I just do.
You for can't New York.
Play. Yes, for New York. And I look
well,
at it that way.
I think he's saying it though, like, okay, say we say LeBron is the best player ever to play for the Lakers, but he's not the greatest Laker. You know, you would go Kobe or Magic with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think you would have a hard time using that same logic to LeBron. I get it as him being a great player, but when you think about the Lakers, there's a couple other people who you would think about way before, and the same thing. Durant has been in New York long enough to have a cup of coffee and a sweet roll, Chris. Let's just be honest. And I get what he's saying.
Yeah,
his talent
he's not
level.
Saying he's the best. He's saying he's the best player that's ever put on a Knicks or Nets uniform.
Yeah, I get what he's saying, his ability. I have a hard time putting that together because other guys actually played in the city, won a championship or two. You know what I mean? I know what he's saying. I have a hard time saying that.
I'm going to go a little different than you did.
Okay.
I
get it though,
and I'm not gonna be definitive yet. I want to think about this more. But what I'm saying, I do think Durant's better than Ewing. He's better than Willis Reed.
Well,
he's better
Ewing,
than
right.
Clyde
not,
Frazier.
Right.
He's the best. Like what Stephen A. is saying is forget. He's not Mr. Nick or he's not Mr. Net. Any of that. But he's just the best player that's ever played in New York. I'm with all that except I do think there is a challenger, and I think it's Dr. J.
I think that's a real challenge. And Dr. J played for the New York Nets.
Right. And won two rings
ABA
with them.
And won a couple championships. And I know we try to gloss over the ABA.
Right.
But Chris, as you know, there were so many great players in that league. People need
I mean,
to
we
stop
could go
acting.
Half of the best players in the world were in the ABA. So if the yes, was the ABA watered down? Okay, but so was the NBA.
Yes.
And I've told you this before, Rob, when you do the research, the ABA, they were playing exhibition games against each other at that point. And the ABA won like two-thirds of them. That's not an exaggeration. They won like 66% of the exhibition games over the last 3 years of it. So I certainly feel comfortable saying it was just as good as the NBA, at least. And so
I'm with you. I just think that we cloud over sometimes and we forget about some of the players and whatnot, Chris and
Moses Malone, Rick Barry,
Alex English,
George Gervin.
There were a lot of great players in the
NBA. Dan Issel, obviously Julius Erving. I mean, it was a great league too. So, all right, but that's an interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah,
I just wanted to kind of
see where he's coming
from.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard for me to just say that without thinking about other players who played, wore New York uniforms, and actually won. That's
right.
All.
So you obviously, we all watched the game last night. As you said, the Clippers ran away with it. Finals 118-104. Really wasn't that close. To your point, they were up 30-13 at the end of the first quarter and never got to be in doubt. And you've seen enough. Like, I mean, I picked the Clippers in seven. But you're like, it's over. I think it's still a very good series, even though I expect them to win. You think it's over. You've seen enough.
What I mean by that is I just think the Clippers have found their way, have made the necessary adjustments. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk or anything. But, you know, like this is the first time we're seeing Kawhi and Paul George. I think they've had back-to-back 30-plus point games each, Chris. Had never happened for them.
First,
never.
They joined Scotty and Michael, Shaq and Kobe, LeBron and Kyrie, and there's one more group.
But
I don't
this
know
is
if it
what
was LeBron away. But every one of them, Rob, there were four. Four duos have done that in addition to Kawhi and Paul George, and all of them won a championship.
That's what I'm. This was the plan when they put this together, and we're finally starting to see them play like what we thought. You know what I mean? Like they could. And we've already talked about, the coaching changes, Chris, and adjustments by Ty Lue. I think he's coached great. Don't you?
Absolutely.
I really do.
Yes.
Like we're seeing Ty Lue can coach. He's not just going with what he had, and he's taking a look at it and making adjustments and even people could say, well, Donovan Mitchell, whatever. He had 37. I mean, I know a lot of it was garbage because they were up big, but it wasn't like he had 13 points. He had 37 points. They did what they had to do, and I just think that they've turned a little bit of a corner, and they're fearless now. They've been down twice. You talked about it earlier, Chris. No team had ever done it. Come back from 2-0 twice.
Well, to win a series.
Right, yeah, right. They haven't done
it
yet, but I'm just saying.
They would be the first team ever. Yep.
Right, but they're on that path that they easily could have after being down, you know, and losing two up there. But even when they lost those two, Chris, it was down the stretch. They were in those games. They didn't get blown out in Utah.
They were close games in Utah.
Right. They didn't get blown out. Utah didn't run them out the gym where you like, oh, they can't win up there. I think they can win. I really do. I like what I see. I like the team a lot. I really do. I picked them to go to the championship out of the West, Chris. I feel better about my pick every day that they play. Yes, and I was one. Even when they fell down 0-2, I said it wasn't over, right?
I
did say that.
To your point
about— I said that
about,
in the first round.
Right. Donovan Mitchell, he had 37 last night, but he was 9 for 26. So
right.
Obviously they made him work for it. I'm with you in that. Look, I said all along this year, my pick was the Lakers. But I said the only team in the West that has a legitimate chance of beating a healthy Lakers team, healthy, was the Clippers. When the Lakers went down and the Clippers survived Dallas, I said they're the best team remaining in the West. And I think they're the only team that could – I would pick Brooklyn certainly over them healthy. But I think the Clippers are built to give Brooklyn some problems. Like they could – you know, make it tough and really give them some issues should they meet in the finals, even if Brooklyn's healthy. That said, Rob, I don't think this series is over. Again, I picked the Clippers in seven, but I don't think they're like in total control now. You know, a lot of people would say, you know, they got the Jazz where they want them.
I never
now
said,
they're,
I didn't say total
themselves.
Control. I just think they're going to win the series.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a six-game series minimum. could go
seven.
Well,
it's got to be six.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, yeah, I meant that it could end in six if they go and get that win in Utah. You know what I mean? That they could come back and close it out is what I meant.
I think the Jazz still has a shot, even though I think the Clippers are the better team. Every time you think you got a handle on the Clippers, it seems like you don't, whether good or bad. You know, you think they're rolling, and then something happened. We thought they were rolling a year ago. I know they're a different team. No doubt.
They were up 3-1 on Denver, right?
They were looking great. Yep. They were looking great. And here's the thing. Utah is much better at home. And you've been up there, Rob.
Yes.
To that arena.
I've been up to the old Salt Palace.
Right, the old place. Yeah. Right. But they had the best home record in the league this year. And then get this, Rob, on the road, they had the same road record as the Indiana Pacers.
Really?
So that tells, yes. That, now, granted, the Pacers, for a bad or mediocre team, were good on the road. But still, they didn't make the playoffs in the East. So that tells you how different Utah is at home and on the road. So Utah still got some fight left. Obviously, could Mike Conley come back? He would make a difference if he comes back. And Rob, the knee with Kawhi. Now, he said after the game, "I'm fine, no big deal." Ty Lue, you know, everybody who's talked about it has said he's good. But we saw him wincing, and we saw him take himself out for the last 4 minutes. And so hopefully it doesn't become an issue. But I'm just saying, these are little things that tell me this thing is far from over.
But the only thing with the coming out, though, let me just say this real quick. They're up by 15 or whatever. He should come out in the final 4 minutes. You know what I mean? Like the game, I know they got it down to,
well,
what,
for
10?
Precautionary reasons?
Yeah,
because everybody else stayed in. But
right, they should have come. But
yeah,
they
got it
by
10.
Right, but they never really, like, they cut it to 10, and then the Clippers put it back up to 13,
right,
and it was 15. You know what I mean? It wasn't like 10. And they got a shot to make it 8 or 7. It wasn't like that. They got it down to 10, and then right away they got a 3, and it was 13.
Right.
And then it was 15.
Paul George,
right? Am I right?
He's been really good in the clutch. He's been, like, the fourth quarter. I shouldn't say the clutch. They've had their problems in the clutch. But in the fourth quarters, like, he's really put up nice numbers. Even when he didn't shoot it well throughout the first three quarters, he's done that. He's done it in the fourth. But here's the other thing, Rob. As you know, a lot of these games, not all of them, but a lot of these games throughout the postseason, the Clippers have kind of gone as Marcus Morris goes, as crazy as that sounds, because he's far from their best player. He shoots fifth in the playoffs, 11 games. He has shot 50% from three at home in the Staples Center. On the road, 21%. He's 1 of 14 from behind the arc in Utah. So I'm just saying all of that to say, this Clippers fans, you know, don't relax just yet.
No,
this is a series.
I don't think they think it's a layup. But they got. I don't think anybody, Chris, given what happened last year, right? There's no way anybody's putting it in the bag. Right. Right.
Right. They make it tough. I mean, again, and they got to get out of this series, but they, for some reason, they do make it tough. All right, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Rob says the Clippers are going to the NBA Finals. He's seen enough. What about you?
Wow.
Your turn to weigh in. Are the Clippers a lock for the NBA Finals? 877-99 on Fox. We want to hear from you.
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And Rob, this is what?
A trash talking Tuesday.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo, woo.
That's right. You can trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And if you're dealing with a dead battery, go to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. So next time you're having battery trouble, head on over to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Rob, the all NBA teams have been announced, and we will get into that in a few, but some interesting choices there. I'd like to get your opinions. But first, we'll go to the callers. 877-99 on Fox. Are you with Rob that the Clippers, you can pencil them in for the NBA Finals?
Daryl in Phoenix, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
You talking about Daryl in Austin or Phoenix?
Austin, I guess. I guess they got the wrong city. Yeah. What's up, Daryl? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I've been trying to get you guys a long time. I've been listening to you, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Yeah, you're definitely the dynamic duo of sports radio, man, in my book. So
thank you, my man.
But yeah, I've been watching basketball a long time. I'm 66 years old. Grew up Teaneck, New Jersey. And, during the Jordan era, that's the reason why Barkley and, Malone and all those guys didn't get a ring because of Jordan. So now LeBron's out. And, Kawhi is hungry. You know, he's got that killer, that killer instinct, And with Paul George and them, I believe they're going to take it,
Rob's going to go after you. For saying LeBron was keeping everybody from getting rings.
Yes, because LeBron was helping dishing out rings. Are you kidding? My goodness.
He was in the finals every
right,
year.
Right, but he wasn't winning, though. He lost six times more than anybody.
I hear you guys say that he wasn't winning, but you know what it takes just to get to the finals?
He dominated on a certain level. Now, he didn't dominate like Jordan. Jordan dominated the
Jerry
whole
West
league
went to nine
like
finals.
LeBron dominated the East.
Right. Jerry West went to nine finals. He's right. 1-8. So, right. And nobody's celebrating Jerry West. He never even won an MVP in the league.
He is the logo.
Yeah, he's the logo. He is.
I mean, that's his reward.
Unbelievable.
No, I'm just saying. Yes.
Is it Andre in Massachusetts? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio.
Evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking
the
call.
How are you? What up, brother?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you. Listen, in terms of the Clippers, I can't give them the free pass to the NBA Finals based off the fact that they finally put together a complete game. You know, they're up, 17 after the first quarter, up 20-something after the second quarter, and they just kind of ran away with it against Utah. But this is the first that we've seen of a definitive, decisive L.A. Clippers team. So they got to show me something when they go back on the road to Utah in that game five to determine who's going to hold sway in this series. And then, Rob, even if they do get past the Utah Jazz, they got to go on the road to play against the red-hot Phoenix Suns. I like the movement, but I don't know if they're going to stay this together, this in tune for the duration of the playoffs. In conclusion, I think, to me, this is...
Who's your pick in this series?
So you're picking the Suns? Is that what you're saying? The Suns are going to go to the finals?
I'm saying this is a small market year for either the Jazz or the Suns to break through and get to the finals. The big guys, the major market.
I don't think it's a small market year based on anything. I mean, if that was the case, Utah was up 2-0, made it look like a lot of people, Chris thought it was over or close to it, didn't you?
No,
think
not,
that they
a,
had
not Utah. I thought Dallas was over when
right.
Dallas had them 2-0.
I just think for where the Clippers have been, not only that, Chris, like their resiliency, they got embarrassed last year. They rebounded. They were under the radar. They got off to a terrible start against Dallas. Could have been embarrassed, changed the whole franchise and organization. That didn't happen. They get down 2-0 here and look really good. And now in the last two games, the two stars that they put together that was supposed to be the foundation of why people were picking this team a year ago to go to the finals or win a championship is now in play. That's all I'm saying is, like, the blueprint is there. They got the right coach making the right changes. They got Rondo. They got veterans. Reggie Jackson's playing well. It's blossomed into a player. I like what they have. You said this, Chris. Am I right? You said they got the best roster of anybody left in the West, right?
I agree. Yep.
Yep. I'm just talking about the personnel.
They got to do it. They got
of
on
course
paper,
they
got
to do it. I agree with that.
On paper, it's the Clippers. There's no
but am I right, Chris? They don't have everything that you need. They do.
No, they totally do that, which is why they shouldn't be going out in the second round.
Absolutely
so
not.
Let's
shouldn't.
See. Yeah.
Is Jose in Phoenix or is he in California? I'm confused by my list. Jose in California, you're in the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
What's up, man? Yeah, man. Hey, I'm a 30-plus years Clippers fan, and I got very superstitious after they went 0-2 against the Jazz. So I shut off my TV, shut off my phone. I am not turning on anything until they win this series.
I get it. I understand. You know what, Jose?
With the way they've been,
I get it.
I feel you.
Yeah. No, I get that. I do, because you feel like every time you watch Chris, your team loses. So you just don't even want to watch.
Right.
And it becomes a superstition. And you know, you just wait and go, oh, they won? Oh, my God, they won.
Right.
I get it. And Clippers fans won't feel good until they finally break through and get to the Western Conference. And then I think they'll probably peak. You know what I mean? Say, can they get to the finals? Is that, Jose, what you're waiting on?
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for them to get to Phoenix. After Phoenix, I'll turn it back on. But
So you're not going to watch any of the games with
Utah? You're not going to watch the last two or three games in this series?
No, man. You know
that's
what?
Tough, though, man. Because I get the emotions.
Right.
And
it's
all that. But at the same time, I mean, you want to watch the game. You're a fan. You know, you want to watch the game. How do you not watch the game? I guess he's gone.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Chris, I get it. It is a tough call, but, you know, for fans who have been disappointed time and time, do you know what I mean? You just feel like, oh, I can't watch.
I guess.
And I'm sure when they lost the first two games, like, oh, here we go. Oh, I just can't believe this. And now it's 2-2, and now you're like, do I want to watch or let them go up there to Utah and win steal game five, and then everything changes? Then I bet you he would watch game six. Because they couldn't lose. You know what I mean?
They couldn't bow out of the series. All right. We got our man Antonio Daniels coming up. We'll talk to him about all NBA and much, much more on the NBA landscape in a moment. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. We welcome in the NBA champion and Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst, our man, Antonio Daniels. What's up, brother?
Hey.
Chris Bashar, Rob Parker. What's up, fellas?
How are you? Good, man. Great to have you on, as always. Let's get right to it. There's so much to talk about. First of all, I don't know if you ever played through a hamstring injury like this, but tell us if you did. And what do you expect from Harden tonight as he tries to play on it?
Honestly, I have no idea what to expect. I'm going to be honest with you, because it's the hamstring is tricky. It's like the groin, where you can go through, do certain things and you can feel really good, and then go out there on the floor and just make one wrong move and you're right back to block one again. So I don't know how severe it is, but I also know that it can get to the point where, as opposed to it being strained, it can become a tear. Now you're having a completely different conversation.
Let me ask you the defense play by PJ Tucker. Will we see that rough housing in Brooklyn tonight, or have
am
I right? I mean, come on,
not a chance,
right?
Not a chance. That, I'm gonna be honest with you. I think that is the most physical game I've seen in this NBA era.
I agree.
You know, and P.J. Tucker, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, because the way that the rules are geared now, what he has over Kevin Durant, he can't use, which is his strength and his girth. But what the rule says is, now, you can't use that against a guy that you're bigger and stronger than. In this particular game, game four, they allowed him to use that for the entire game. I would be so incredibly surprised if they allow that same physicality on the ball handler like they did in game four. No way, no how.
No way, no how. I'm with you. And if he does that, he'll have two fouls in the first minute and a half.
And that will dictate the way that he defends for the remainder of the game.
Right. Yep.
And that was the difference in game four. Is, you know how like a child will kind of, don't touch that, and they'll get a little bit closer. Let me see what I can get away with. Let me see what I can get away with. So it was almost like, wow, they let me get away with that? Oh, shoot, they let me get away with that too? And then it got to the point where it was all out a 1990s, early 2000 game. So it comes down to the way the game is being officiated, because the officials aren't going to adjust. You have to adjust to the way the game is being called.
Let's stay in the East, and we got a really nice series between Philly and Atlanta. I got a
two-part question. That was a choke job. I'm sorry. What happened?
Two-part question for you. Trae Young.
That's terrible.
And he's put up numbers since he got in the league, but no one's thought of him as like one of the top point guards in the league. Maybe down the road we'll look at him like that. But do you think already we need to reevaluate how we rank Trae Young and that he is one of the top point guards in the league? That's part one. Part two is, what do you make of Joel Embiid? Because I cringe every time he takes a step, because I just feel like he's a moment away from calamity.
Okay, I'll give you two parts. First, with Trae Young, when you say one of the top point guards in the league, we're talking top what? That's the question.
He's in the top 10 for sure, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
Because
not counting.
I'm a firm believer. I think the point guard is the most lethal position in the NBA. Like, every single night almost, you have someone that you got to deal with. You know, you talk about the Stephs and the Russes and the Dame Lillards. Go down the list of the Kyle Lowrys, the Kyrie Irvings. You can go down the list of different point guards in the league. It comes down to, where are we stopping? When we say top, are we saying top three, top five, top 10?
He's not there yet, top five.
Right. But, I feel like people feel the same way or felt the same way about Trae Young that they did about Devin Booker. A lot of people felt like he was putting up numbers, but it wasn't translated to winning. Now the perception has changed because they're getting a chance to do this on the biggest stage.
Right.
And with Joel Embiid,
Let me ask you about Embiid. 0-for-12, he misses a bunny at the rim. And, I mean, that is a huge loss by Philadelphia. That is unacceptable, that ending of that game.
Well, you know, we talked about Joel Embiid today. And this was my thing. I am so – and I'm not talking about with Embiid in general. We saw it with LeBron, and we saw it with Luka. I don't like when players play extremely well and no one says a word. And the moment they struggle, not the player, but the media starts to say, well, the reason that they struggle is because they were injured. So LeBron will be great for about four games, and then he will have a half where he struggled. And then halftime, everybody's like, oh, man, his ankle must be hurt. Well, why?
Right.
Joel Embiid in these first three games was amazing. MVP amazing. 40, 35, plus 20 plus, and a blowout win. So he's been amazing. And now he goes 0-for-12 in the second half, and now the narrative is, oh, I think his knee was bothering. No, I can't do that.
Right.
If you go back
after you
play, that's the standard I have to hold you to.
I'm with you. That was it could come back to haunt Philadelphia. I don't even know what else to think. They had that game in hand and just couldn't make it, even though.
Well, Rob, are you saying that's a choke job, or are you giving credit to the Atlanta Hawks for
That's a major league choke job.
But it goes both ways, though.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that Atlanta didn't take advantage of it, but I'm just saying you can't have a guy that big who had been dominating and had 30, 40, and 39 and 40 in his first two games and then tell me he's going to go 0-for-12. If he makes two baskets, they win that game that comfortably.
Well, he definitely should have made the layup. That was
ridiculous.
Right. I hear you. And I won't – I'm not going to defend the way Joel Embiid played, but also know that it happens. It happens. I mean, Joel Embiid is not the first all-star or star that we've seen that struggled down the stretch of a game. And he won't be the last.
Guess whose record he broke by going 0-12 in a playoff game for a half? Michael Jordan, who was 0-for-11 in a game in 97 against the Heat. Now, granted, the Bulls were up 3-0.
I'll never hear that again, Chris.
Right.
I guarantee.
Right.
No, that's even heard.
Buried, right? Right.
Yeah.
Let's bury that right now. Let's bury that in the tomb right now.
Let me add, Chris, I'm going to just jump in and ask one more question. The Clippers. I love the Clippers, where they are, what they're doing. This is the first time we've seen Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both score 30 points back-to-back playoff games. This is what people expected when they put these two together. I like the makeup of the team. I like the job that Ty Lue's doing. I think they're coming out of the West. What do you make of the Clippers and what they've been able to do, especially after first the Dallas series and then falling behind 0-2 to Utah?
You know, it's amazing when you're talking about either a playoff series or within a playoff series, how quickly the narrative changes. Because think about what the narrative was when they were down 0-2 to Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
And then how quick it changed when they tied it up 2-2. You know, and then Dallas wins, and it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're down 3-2. Here we go again. Kawhi Leonard's going to walk out the door, and then they win the next two. Then you start out the next two by losing two in Utah. And then think of the narrative then. Then they go back and they win another two. You know, so what I like about the Clippers, I'm going to be honest, I love their championship pedigree now with Kawhi Leonard and also with Rajon Rondo and Ty Lue. Because when a team does well, we praise the players, but when they struggle, we criticize the coach. And Ty Lue has pushed a lot of the right buttons.
Absolutely.
Yes, he has. Knowing, he deserves credit.
Knowing who to sit, knowing when to take guys out of rotation, knowing when to call on guys like Luke Kennard, knowing when his bench would be incredibly important. Ty Lue has not received enough credit with this Clippers run right now. We're talking a lot about Kawhi Leonard and his due, Paul George and his due, but Ty Lue deserves a lot of credit for the job that he's doing on that sideline.
No, I'm with you on that. I want to ask you quickly, Antonio, about the All-NBA first and second team, if you had any major issues. First team was Steph Curry and Luka Doncic at the guards, Nikola Jokic at center, Giannis and Kawhi at the forwards. Second team was Damian Lillard, Chris Paul at the guards, Embiid at the center, LeBron and Julius Randle at the forwards. Any major issues with those?
I tell you the only issue that I have, and I think this year more than any other year, it's relevant. To me, availability matters.
Right.
It matters. You know what I mean? So when we start talking about all these other things, I think for a while I thought LeBron James was the best player in the world. But if you can win or make second team playing in 45 games, 55 out of 72 games, you know what I mean? Like
I agree.
There are guys that played in 60 plus games. There are guys that played in 70 plus games. I honestly am a firm believer that availability matters, no matter how big the name is. That's just me.
No, I agree. I had LeBron on my third team for precisely that reason. And you could even argue maybe that was too high for that many games, but I put him on third team. But I was a little surprised with, you're right, the number of games he played for him to be second. But all right, man, as always, great stuff. We appreciate
you.
Enjoy the game tonight.
Oh, you know, you already know. I can't wait.
And Bucks are up. Bucks jumped on him quick. It's 12-2. And early on, they were letting P.J. Tucker be physical with Durant. So we'll see if that continues. But 12-2 Milwaukee right now. All right, AD, thanks, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. All right.
Yep. More iCouple coming your way, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the iCouple, Chris and Rob. Wrapping up hour number two on what, Rob? This is a Trash Talking Tuesday. And in the third hour, 6:35-ish Pacific, 9:35-ish Eastern, you'll be able to trash anyone, anything in the world of sports. So get your takes ready. Rob, all NBA team came out, as I said.
Yes.
First team, and Rob G, I might need you to read the third team because I don't know if I have it all in front of me. But Chris Paul, I'm sorry. Steph Curry, Luka Doncic at the guards, Nikola Jokic at center, Kawhi, and Giannis at the forwards. Any issues?
I think they got it right.
I vote, as you know, I'm a voter. I had a different team.
What'd you have?
I, I had Chris Paul and Steph at the guards. Of course, Jokic at center. I moved Luka to the forward spot.
Okay, so you
and Luka had Luka and Giannis because Kawhi, you know, I mean, he played more than typical, but he still only played 52 games. Okay. So I my second team was the second team. Rob G, what was second team?
Second team guards: Dame Lillard, Chris Paul. Forwards: LeBron James and Julius Randle, and at center: Joel Embiid.
Rob, my team, my second team, and I really feel good about this guard pick. Dame Lillard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Booker.
So you had him, okay.
I had Devin Booker on my second team. I had Embiid at center, Kawhi at forward, and Julius Randle at forward. I think LeBron, I agree with what Antonio said. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league, but what did he play? He didn't play 50 games, I don't even think.
Yeah, I think that's on reputation.
Right, right. And I get it that a lot of guys miss games, but he missed even more than most.
He missed a lot of games that should have knocked him out of that. I agree.
Now, I put him on my third team. Rob G, what was the third team?
Third team, at center, Rudy Gobert. At guards, Brad Beal and Kyrie Irving. At forwards, Paul George and Jimmy Butler.
All right. Again, I was different here, Rob. And LeBron played 45 games, Rob.
45 out of 72.
Yeah,
that's a lot of missed games.
Again, I feel good about this guard. I had Donovan Mitchell, third team. And the reason I had Booker ahead of Mitchell was largely because Booker played more games. But Westbrook, I put Westbrook on at the other guard, Rob. I mean, we're looking over the triple-double, but, I mean, come on. And they were winning toward the end of the year. I didn't have a net. And Kyrie, he played as many games as some of these guys, and he was tremendous. But I did hold the 3 weeks where he just took off for whatever reason against
but-
And obviously the other two didn't play enough hard.
But, Chris, the problem with I think why Kyrie deserved it is the 50-40.
That's fine, but that's not, not the first person to do that.
No. But
he's great. I mean, he's obviously one of the best.
He had a great season numbers-wise. What was it, 50%, 50-40-90?
He had a great season. Yep, there's no 50-40-90, and his number, you know. I mean, Kyrie is awesome. I mean, if he played, but I just don't, I can't, I'm really like Antonio now. I'm like, look, guys got to play games. And he just took 3 weeks off and nobody knows why. And so that, I did look at that. I had Gobert at center. I had LeBron third team. And I think I had Tatum at the other, I'm not sure if I had Tatum or Butler. I couldn't find my official ballot, but I know it was either Tatum or Butler at the other forward spot. Who were the forwards, Rob G?
For the third team was Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
Okay. Yeah, I know I didn't have Paul George.
Paul George had a great season. He had a good numbers year. Numbers-wise, he did.
He had a good year.
Yeah.
It's
interesting. I mean, you're more of a stickler on the games than most people. And I get it. Once you have your formula,
I feel more
to
so
you.
That way nowadays, right? Because so many guys are, you know what I mean? Just kind of, I think it's important that dudes start valuing playing most games again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
For the fans, whatever.
I think it's going the other way, but I'm with you. I just can't get over like where we are, how many games people miss, you know, just the circumstances. Like it is way, when you think that these guys used to play 82, it's mind-boggling.
Yes.
Am I right?
I mean, and think about it. You know you're going. Jordan played 82 most seasons in his career. It wasn't
last
like
year, last year he played 82.
Right, as a 40-year-old man. But even like now, and I get this. I'm not going to kill guys for sitting out when they're about to go to the playoffs, right? Sitting out the last few games. But Jordan didn't do that.
I know.
And a lot of guys didn't do that.
I agree with that. That's the one thing that I look at. He didn't take a rest and say, oh, we got this wrapped up. I'll skip the last eight games or just play a little bit or whatever. You know what I mean? And whatever, get ready for the playoff. It wasn't like that.
No, and as Kobe's wife said at his Hall of Fame induction, he felt like it was for the fans. You know, he was like, look, and he's right. I mean, people, that's a lot of money to go to a game. And so I applaud him. All right, an hour left. Lock it.